Tom grew up in a working-class neighborhood outside London and described his fascination with theoretical astrophysics, with black holes and how they must be linked through the space-time continuum to white holes, when he was 5. He's now 11. His greatest pleasure is taking math tests designed for graduating high schoolers. So begins a fascinating article about gifted children in The Economist's 1843 magazine. We're not talking about kids pressured by aggressive, privileged parents, but children who often push their parents to the brink because of what the article calls the curse of genius. It's a small group, less than 1% of the population by most accounts, who perform so outside the norm that they have neither a peer group nor a system to facilitate their learning. Writer Maggie Ferguson tells their story. She joins us from the Economist studios in London. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Chrissy, the mother of Tom, who we just described. Chrissy, welcome to you as well.
Hello, thank you.
And I want to start with you because I want to make sure I've characterized this correctly. You know, I think a lot of parents hearing about a five-year-old talking about, astrophysics would think, oh, wouldn't that be great? They can't get their 19-year-old to care about science. But you say what?
It's hard. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
Really, really, really hard.
Well, in fact, you told Maggie, I can't cope with it. I just want to take it away. I mean, of course you adore Tom,
I just want him to be happy. And there are moments he is happy sometimes. There are things that really make him happy. But in general, it's hard. I don't know why you would want this for your child.
Yeah, because he has some severe depression.
Yeah, he had depression when he was 5, 6, and he kind of came out of it. And at the minute, he has got kind of existential depression, which is slightly more worrying about the world and why we're here and existence, and there's no answer. And it's just managing and trying to distract him from things like that.
Yeah.
He's a really good working adult's brain in a child.
It might be worth my saying, this is Maggie coming in now, that when I started off on this article, there was no preconceived angle. So I didn't begin work thinking that I wanted to find kids and parents who were being made very unhappy by being gifted. I had imagined I would find exactly the opposite. But as it turned out, most of the people I spoke to were finding it very hard indeed dealing with high levels of giftedness.
Well, Maggie Ferguson, tell us a little more about that. Chrissy just said, so profound, an adult brain and a child's body. Talk about the impact of that, Maggie.
Well, what I did fairly early on in my research was to get in touch with Mensa, which is the organization in this country, and I know it's in America as well, for very gifted people, not just children. And they put out an email asking for parents and children who would be prepared to speak to me. And I was absolutely deluged with emails and calls from mothers who spoke to me almost with a sense of shame. It's as if they were telling me some sort of dark secret, because having a gifted child is not something that most parents feel able to talk about.
Let me jump in there to underscore that. You talked to a parent who said when other children come over to play, she has to hide the toys and books of her child because it'll give away that the child is so advanced, and they so desperately want the child to be able to have a normal, interaction.
That was a mother who lives in Cornwall, speaking about her daughter. Her little girl is extraordinarily, terrifyingly bright. And she told me a story of how, aged 18 months only, this little girl was in the bath one night and her mother forgot to bring her face cloth to the bath. And this little 18-month-old girl said to her, "Mummy, you're an abomination." Well, this mother went on to say that she now hides the child's toys when other children come around to play because she's so embarrassed that this little girl is so far ahead. And that seemed to be quite typical.
Yeah, well, Chrissy, talk more about, there may be embarrassment. You talk about, your son having these very dark thoughts.
Yeah, he sees the bigger picture. So for him, it's almost like he just seems to sort of second guess everything, and he analyzes. He can't get on with just being a child and just play.
Maggie Ferguson, you found this from others.
Yeah.
Who had studied children who were gifted. They are driven. They have a rage to master.
It's a wonderful phrase, and that does seem to be a kind of identifying feature of very gifted children. But the kind of high achieving element that Chrissy is talking about can also go hand in hand with what's called asynchronous development. So that although a child's brain is developing very fast in terms of numbers, words, patterns, the frontal lobes, which govern how we develop in our relationships with other people, do not develop as fast in these children. And therefore, friendship can be very difficult and loneliness is a problem.
They have trouble sleeping. They can have physiological conditions like food allergies, asthma, which go hand in hand with this sensory processing disorder. And Chrissy, we understand that, you know, obviously a gifted child might be the target of other kids, so tough, but also the target of adults, one teacher in Tom's case.
Yeah, when he was in his infant school, there was a couple of times where he'd come out and in front of all the parents, she patted him on the head and said, "Toby really struggled with his maths today." And she was giving him maths that you'd give to a sort of 15, 16-year-old. And he was six at the time. And funnily enough, he loved it and he could do it. But yes, he wasn't getting everything right. There was real bitterness. He could see through it. He could see the bitterness.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why, as a teacher, you wouldn't relish a child that just wants to learn.
Yeah. Talk more about what do we do in school, Maggie, for these kids, a very small number. In some cases, they're forced to slow down, to stay with the class they're in. It's torture for some of these kids. And you also say
yes.
that what happens with many of these gifted kids, they're called lost Einsteins. They don't fulfill their promise. So what's the solution for these children?
Well, the solution is to have some kind of special provision for gifted children. There's a psychotherapist called Sonia Falk who specializes in looking after people with extreme intelligence. And I think she was right when she says it's a real suffering, that boredom is really dangerous. I was told about a boy who'd been at Eton College, you know, one of the best schools in this country. He was extremely clever. He wrote a short poem for the school magazine, which simply ran, "If I should die, think only this of me, ennui." And he committed suicide.
Mm.
That was an extreme example.
Ennui, E-N-N-U-I, just boredom and nothingness, ennui.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's Chrissy. I'm sorry that you, that you have to hear this because I know you're struggling, you know, with Tom. And
well, Tom, yeah, I mean, he talked about when he was about five, he said to me that he felt like he didn't want to be here. And he just said, I'd repeatedly sort of bash my head against the wall until it's over. And then, you know, he worked on it and it kind of went, you know, the depression did go. But then it just come back and it's come back recently. It's horrendous. And the trouble is that there are a lot of people that don't take it seriously because they just think they're a child. So what are they miserable about?
Well, the article ends with an incredibly poignant note. You are talking to Maggie about what we call these lost Einsteins. And in fact, Einstein was almost a lost Einstein. You know, he had written, you know, I'm known so universally and yet I'm so lonely. And you turned to Maggie and said, "Show me one child like this whose life ends up well, they don't exist." And Tom is sitting right there, you know, and you turned to him. What did you say to him?
He can be the first. Why not? I just want him to be happy. That's all. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, it's hard because kids that struggle, they are a priority. They're all a priority. It's just, I understand the struggle with schools. I get why they have it. I just wish that these children were identified.
Although, sorry, it's Maggie coming in again. Even if they're identified at school, it's not absolutely clear what is the best thing to be done for them. Some parents opt for homeschooling. So that they can take children at their own pace. But then there's all the problems about the development of their social lives and making friends. That's very difficult if you're being homeschooled. Or you can be pushed out of your year group. You can be accelerated up so that you're learning with children 3-4 years older. But again, that has implications in the development of your social life. So it's not quite clear what you do even once they've been identified.
Well, Chrissy, We wish you all the best. And, you know, I'm thinking
Thank
that,
you.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe what you are doing for Tom right now in recognizing him and, you know, letting him participate and, you know, figuring out his own story, maybe that will be the thing that, you know, gives him some purpose there.
Yeah, I think watching Young Sheldon's really helped.
What'd you say?
And The Big Bang Theory. I said he watches Young Sheldon in The Big Bang Theory. That's actually really helped.
Yes.
Because I think he realises that when he's older, he will have a group of friends that get him, which is great. You know, yeah. I think he can kind of like see that it will happen. It's just he's got a little bit of time to wait.
One more reason to love The Big Bang Theory and Sheldon.
Yeah.
That's Chrissy, her now 11-year-old son, Tom. Is one of the children profiled by Maggie Ferguson in her terrific article, The Curse of Genius. Maggie, thank you also for your writing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.